Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. All right, so I have this weird image in my head of my grandparents. Not because they were weird, they weren't, but because of how I remember them. Right, I knew my grandmother. Right? I remember her being in her 80s. I remember going to her house after school sometimes. I remember playing Scrabble and cribbage with her. I remember her making really good Buckeyes around Christmas time. She even lived with us for a little bit when she couldn't live by herself anymore. So I remember these things about her. She was a really good grandma. My grandfather, though, died before I was born, so I never got to meet him. All I know about him are stories I've heard and pictures I've seen. And one picture in particular that I remember shows him probably in his 30s, sitting by the side of a lake. He's wearing a white shirt and dark pants. Right? It's a black and white picture, of course, but it's a good shot of him. So in my head, I know my grandparents were married, but I picture her in her 80s and him in his 30s. As I said, it's a weird mental picture in my head. If I saw a picture of my grandmother in her 30s, would I recognize her? Probably not. And if I saw a picture of my grandfather later in his life, would I recognize him? Probably not. Right? They'd look similar, but not exactly as I remember them. And I imagine you know this experience too. Right? We often have this image of someone as they were the last time we saw them. And if you see them in a new way, then you might not recognize them right away. Or if you do recognize them, then you end up doing a double take because something just doesn't quite look right. Sometimes we need to adjust our mental picture of someone. And sometimes they need to adjust their mental picture of us. All right, think about when you're a kid. How many times do people say, "Wow, you're growing," or "You're getting tall," as if you didn't know that already? Then when you're middle-aged, people who haven't seen you for a while, they notice that you're different, but they often keep their mouth shut. They just think, "Oh, wow, you've put on a few pounds." Because, one, you already know that, and two, saying it is just rude. And then when you're older yet, people think, "Wow, you got gray," as if you didn't know that already too. Right? You know these things about yourself, but they don't. So they're basically saying it to adjust their own mental picture of you, because they haven't seen you this way before. But it can be really hard to change those mental images. It can be hard for us to admit that somebody is different than the way we remember them. Right? Obviously, we're used to physical changes. People getting taller, putting on a few more pounds, getting gray hairs. But what about when it comes to who they are? Like, what if they look the same, but they're behaving differently? Or they're thinking differently, or they're talking differently. Then what do we do? Are we willing to admit that they're new people? Or do we continue to think of them the way they used to be? Do we trap them in the past as they once were? Or do we let them be new? This is the dilemma faced by the Pharisees in this really long gospel reading today. This is the entire 9th chapter of the Gospel of John. And the scene begins with Jesus and his disciples encountering a man who had been born blind. That was how people knew him, right? As the blind guy. But then Jesus comes along and gives this guy his sight. And that's fine, right? Jesus healed people all the time. But notice something here. The actual moment of the healing takes all of two lines. Verses 6 and 7. That's it. The majority of the chapter, from verses 8 to 34, are about what happens after Jesus changed this man's life. It's basically a really long argument between this guy and the Pharisees about who he is and what happened to him. Because if you noticed, Jesus himself even disappears from the scene for a little bit here. Right? This is the longest section in the Gospels where Jesus is not front and center. Because the emphasis is more on how do we respond to someone after they've been changed by Jesus. So let's take a look at what's going on here. After this man is healed, he encounters both his neighbors and the Pharisees. And they're confused about who he is. They think he sort of looks like the guy who was blind and used to beg, but they're not really sure. Some of them ask, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some were saying, it is he. Others were saying, no, but it's somebody like him. Well, the man then talks about a guy named Jesus who healed him and gave him his sight. Well, this new information doesn't compute with the image they have of him in their mind. They won't admit that he's been changed. Plus, the Pharisees think that no one could have healed him, especially because that day was the Sabbath, and healing was a work, and you weren't supposed to work on the Sabbath. So in other words, they couldn't see the new thing that was going on here. Because they were so used to seeing the world and this guy in one particular way. Sometimes we do that too. Sometimes we refuse to admit that someone's been changed. Not just in appearance, but in lifestyle and identity. Right, although you physically recognize them, you're still not quite sure it's them. Like, even though we want Jesus to change people's lives, sometimes we don't want to change our mental picture of them. Right, okay, for example, let's say you hear a story of a convicted murderer who suddenly became Christian while in prison. Don't we still see that person as a convicted murderer instead of a Christian? Don't we still define them based on who they used to be? Right, we'll also say things like, oh, they're former child actors. Or, he's an ex-con. Or, she's a recovering alcoholic. Who they were continues to define who they are. At least, so we think. Well, of course, sometimes we're on the opposite side of this, too. Sometimes our lives have been changed by Jesus, and sometimes other people don't want to admit the change in us, either. Right, yeah, maybe you've grown up as a Christian, maybe you didn't have some big conversion moment, but you are still not the same person you were years ago, or even a few months ago, or maybe even a few hours ago. Right? That's what resurrection life is all about, my friends. That's what seeing Jesus, the light of the world, does to you. He changes you. He gives you new life. The old has passed away and the new has come. You are not who you once were. The people who knew you before might not know who you are anymore. Right? You're still you, but a different kind of you. It's the same thing with congregations. We are a different congregation than we were 200 years ago. Or 20 years ago. Or 2 years ago. We're still us, just a different kind of us. And sometimes that's hard to admit. Even though the man who was healed by Jesus was made new, those around him didn't want to admit it. They remembered who he used to be, and that's all they wanted to know about him. But this man kept going on and on about what Jesus did for him, which makes the scene kind of funny if you pay attention to it. All right, here he is, standing in front of them, literally looking at them with his own eyes that now work, and they still demand proof that he used to be blind. And they still think that Jesus, who healed him on the Sabbath, is a sinner. The healed man answered, "I do not know whether he's a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." The evidence of his new life is literally staring them in the face, but they won't admit that he's been changed, let alone changed by Jesus. But why? Why do we do that? Why do we refuse to admit that somebody's been changed? Because then that would mean we would have to change too. If they've been changed, then our way of viewing them has to change. Like admitting that they're taller or heavier or grayer. And some people don't want to change their mental picture of somebody. Like my grandmother was once young, and my grandfather eventually got older. I need to realize that. They were more than just the mental picture that I have of them. So how does this healed man respond to all this pushback that he's receiving? Well, he just continues to tell his story. Yes, he gets frustrated at them because they won't listen to him, and he has to tell his story over and over again. But honestly, telling his story is all he can do. He can't convince them to believe him. He can't force them to change their mental image. He can't make them trust Jesus. All that is outside of his control. All that he can do is tell his story. Or to say it a little differently, you can teach people, you can educate them, you can help them learn, and teaching others is a part of what we're called to do, but you can't force them to see the world or you any differently. Just ask any teacher who's wanted to pull their hair out because of frustrating students. Plus, notice something else here. In the very telling of his story, this man continued to grow too. At first, he simply said that a man named Jesus healed him. Verse 11. Then he calls Jesus a prophet, verse 17. Then he says that Jesus was sent by God, verse 33. And then he calls him Lord and worships him, verse 38. In telling others about how Jesus has worked in your life, you grow closer to Jesus himself. And it culminates in your worship of him. And notice this. The fact that other people didn't listen to this man didn't mean that Jesus didn't change his life. It's not like since they didn't listen that he then went back to being blind. Right? No, that's not how it works. He was still made new by Jesus, whether they wanted to admit it or not. The fact that his life was changed was based on Jesus, not on how they responded to it. The fact that your life has changed is based on Jesus and not what others think about you. At the end of the story, after this guy was kicked out of the synagogue, Jesus came along and found him again. And in the same way, Jesus finds you. No matter how people respond or don't respond to you, you still belong to Jesus. He is still with you. He still gives you new life. And so, yes, there are times that people freeze us in their minds. Like a black and white picture of a man sitting by a lake. But we are still new people, living in bright, bold colors and moving around with new life. And even if others don't want to admit that change in our lives, we still know what Jesus has done for us. And we know that's a story worth telling. And it's a story worth seeing in the lives of others too. Jesus is the light of the world, and he changes everything. In the name of the one who changes our worldview and our lives, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.